The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires to drink freely from the water of life come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, sir. Let's pray as we get into the word today. Father, we're just so thankful for this day. It's a day that you've made. It's a day that we choose to rejoice and to be glad in. And we choose now, Lord, to just look away from the trouble and the stress and the worries of our life and look to you. And we see you in so many ways. And we see you in these people being baptized and these new lives beginning in you. We see you as we worship you and lift up your name in our praises. And we see you at Camp Agape, this bereavement camp for children where they're sharing your love with broken little hearts. And God, we just praise you for who you are. And we hear your word calling us today, Lord, to come. Because we thirst for your water. So quench it today. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we started talking about thirsting and how God has kind of pre-programmed all of us with this thirst for his love and for his presence. And that feeling that we have of lacking, that feeling that we sometimes get that something is missing, that thirst is not a design flaw. It's a design feature. And just like our physical thirst is designed to drive us to drink the water that our bodies need, this spiritual thirst that we feel is intentionally designed to drive us to what our soul needs, which is Jesus, the living water. And when we feel this thirst for more of Jesus, instead of us feeling that as some kind of failure or sensing that as something to feel guilty about, we're trying to see what it is. It is just an invitation to drink freely from the water of life that is Jesus. I don't know about you physically. I'm trying to drink more water. Is anybody else on this with me? Who's trying to drink more water? It's everybody. I think sometimes I drink junk or I eat junk because I feel these cravings that are really just my body thirsting for water. But unfortunately, after a lifetime of eating junk and drinking sodas and tea and everything but water, even though my body craves water and even though I know I need more water, I thirst for more. And even though I know water is an essential source of life, I'm not very good at drinking it. And sometimes I feel like I'm not getting enough. But I don't know what to do. I can't like get in a rhythm of it. And so I've been trying some tricks, or I don't know, tips or something that I've seen work for other people. Somebody told me to drink from a straw. And if I drink from a straw, I drink more. And so I'm trying to do that. If I drink water that's not super cold, that helps. Somebody got me drinking these little packets of and it tastes like lemonade or something like that. And some of them have electrolytes, although I don't even know what that is. I'm trying to convince myself that this is just Kool-Aid or something. But there's tips, right? There's habits we can get into. There's tricks that we can do. You can set a reminder on your phone. A lot of you carry around those big water jugs, right? Your Yeti or your, what's the other one? Stanley or whatever. And you got your stickers all over it and all that. It's like a fashion statement or something. But also, by the way, there's about 100 in the kitchen. If you've left yours here, please go get them. But I think the main thing, though, is they're just like big, heavy reminders to drink more water. And the best one that I've seen, is Lauren in here? Our life groups director, Lauren. She's right there on the front row almost. And so Lauren had one the other day here at church. That's the best one I ever saw, man. This is 128 ounces. Bro, this is a gallon of water. And what you do is you fill this thing up, and then all day it tells you it's this time. Now, this is where you should be as it's slowly going down. And it's got like these little encouragements. 7 o'clock, you're down to here already, right? Good morning. 9 o'clock, you've got it. 11 o'clock, remember your goal, right? 11:30, time to pee, right? So this is, and that's like repeated over and over in this whole thing. So, you know, I saw this and I thought, well, you know, that's kind of dumb or something. But then I noticed that this little woman that weighs half of what I weigh drinks twice as much water as I drink. So I thought, well, you know what, maybe it's not that bad an idea. So I bought this one for me. I'm open, right? I want more water. I know I need it, whether I feel like I'm thirsty for it or not. And so I'm just doing everything I can. The other day, somebody was here. They said, I don't know if it's like to do with the plumbing remodeling or what it is, but we hear this weird gushing, sloshing sound. Is it a plumbing issue? That's probably just Lauren, really. I don't think it's... But it's working. She's drinking twice as much water as I am. And so, we'll take all the tips we can get, right? We'll take all the habits or all the little techniques that we can find. But what about our spiritual thirst? You know, because we feel this craving and we know that Jesus is the life-giving water and we know that he is the essential source of life. But I think all of us sometimes feel like we're just not getting enough and we just don't know what to do about that and what can we do? Are there tricks? Are there tips? Are there habits to help us like drink in more Jesus? And I have to say, I think this thing, if that's what you're feeling, it begins with prayer. I think one of the most important ways we drink in Jesus is in prayer, just talking to him and listening to him and just sitting with him. And it's not to minimize other stuff. Studying the word is essential to following Jesus. And then activating, like doing what you've read in the word is essential to following Jesus. And serving and sharing and giving and community, these things are all critical to following Jesus. But in any relationship where you really thirst for more, I think anybody will tell you that the real trick, right, the first tip, the most important thing is communication. And one of the best ways we communicate with God is through prayer. So if you're looking to like work on your prayer life, I'll give you a couple of great books that I really love. There's a million of them out there, but here's a couple of really good ones. On the left is Tyler Staton's great book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. Seriously, one of the best books I've ever read on any topic, particularly on prayer. And then Pete Gregg wrote this great book, How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. And that is a fantastic book. I'd really, really encourage you to check one of those or both of those out. There's a lot of great teaching online. Mike and I kind of team taught about a year and a half or 2 years ago, a thing called Teach Us to Pray. And that was going to be a four-week sermon series, and it turned into 13, I think, before it was all said and done. So that's available in our archives. But today, we're not really looking for detailed teaching. Today, we're just going to just look at a couple of like tips, you know, just a couple of tricks, just a couple of habits, like using a straw or like drinking out of that ridiculous jug. If you thirst for more of Jesus in your life, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to give you five or six ideas to help us drink in more Jesus through prayer. And today we're just going to take on two. The first one is a really, really big one. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Make sure you're still there. Here's the first one. Slow down. Slow down. I mean, for a lot of us, drinking in more Jesus starts with just creating more time and more space for that to happen. And last week we established something that a lot of people told me was a new concept to them, and that is that God thirsts for you. God doesn't need you. He created you because he wants you. And he's been pursuing us since the garden. In Luke 15, Jesus tells this parable that portrays him as a sheep, or as a shepherd, and us as sheep, and we're this lost sheep that's off on its own. And it says that he leaves the 99 sheep that are fine to come after us. To come after one, just to pursue us, to find us, and to bring us back to him. And I think a lot of people talk about Christianity as a way to pursue God, but the reality is God's pursuing us. God is pursuing us, but some of us just have to slow down enough to let him catch us. And that's hard for us because we're just so busy. We're spending hours every day at work and school and taking care of our homes and taking care of our families. I mean, you add it up. There's 24 hours in a day, right? If you sleep 8 hours, if you work 8 hours, by the time you take a shower and do a couple of chores and pay your bills, you know, 2 minutes to brush your teeth, give yourself a half hour to eat, 2 hours a day stuck in traffic on 46, right? You got 3 hours a day for kids' sports. Just pull back a little bit here for safety. 2 hours a day of TV, required, 2 hours a day of video games, 12 hours on social media. I mean, I've done the math. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to pray. And I'm going to tell you something now that you already know. And you're already mad at me about the kids' sports thing, so I don't care. I got nothing to lose at this point. There are a lot of reasons that we've all become too busy and too distracted and feel behind and don't have time to pray. There's lots of reasons for that. And one of those reasons is that the average American is spending 4 or 5 hours a day on their cell phones. And I'm sure you guys don't, but like the 11 o'clock service, you know, or like the sinners or whatever. I know you don't do it. I know you don't do it, but I would just really challenge you to ask your phone. Right? It's in the settings. And it'll tell you how much time you're spending on all of the different apps on your phones. But phones are really just one thing that is going on that we spend so much time on that we're constantly trying to hurry up, and we just don't have time for Jesus. We don't have time to drink. We don't have time for prayer. And the answer to being too busy to pray is not going faster so you can do more. The answer is slowing down and doing less. It's doing something that is really hard for a lot of us, and that is taking something off your to-do list. Striking something from your calendar, maybe something good, and replacing that with spending time with Jesus. And I know what every single person is feeling right now is, well, that sounds great, but I am super busy. I am so busy, and I don't know your life, and I don't know how busy you are, but I'm just asking you to consider on your daily to-do list, on your daily calendar, might there be something clogging up the calendar that's less important than drinking in Jesus? And not to be snotty, but you know who else was pretty busy? Jesus, right? And yet, this week, I counted 9 times in the Gospels where Jesus shut down and went off by himself to pray. And that's the same number of times I found recorded of him eating. So I think that really makes it seem like he gave this a pretty high priority. I also counted how many times he sat down for 2 hours to scroll through Instagram. It was less than 9. It's just math, right? It's just math. A day's 24 hours. If you've got 27 hours of stuff scheduled and now you want to add time with Jesus, there's only one way for that to happen. You have to take something out. You have to slow down. And I get it, man. I feel it too. The way of the world, right? The way of the world right now is running and gunning and hurrying and doing more and doing it faster so you can do even more, because we've got to do one more job, one more project, one more post, one more shift, one more text, one more podcast, one more episode, one more sales call. It's the way of the world. But I think we've already kind of come to learn that Jesus' way is counter-cultural, right? Jesus' way is typically not the way of the world. Jesus' way is a way of peace and a way of rest and a way of having time to be with the Father, because Jesus prioritized time with the Father. That's how he lived. That's how he lived. And he's calling us to follow him as his apprentices. So look at Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come to me," you've heard this verse, "all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for my souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." How many of you know that has nothing to do with eggs? Real quick. Now, it's not that kind of yoke, right? So just super quick. So first century Israel, yoke kind of meant 2 things. One, it was that big wood harness thing they put on oxen, you know, so that they can pull plows or carts or something like that. So it might represent work. So sometimes they would say yoke, and they would be talking about the work. And then the other thing is sometimes the word yoke was used to represent like the teaching of a particular rabbi or the way of living that a particular rabbi was espousing and teaching his followers. So we got to use context to figure out which one it's talking about. So is it talking about the wood thing? Or is it talking about the teaching of Jesus and the way of life that he's prescribing to his followers? I mean, it says, "Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you." So it seems like what's going on here is Jesus is saying, my yoke, my teaching, the way of life that I prescribe, my way of life is restful and light. And slowing down is part of being one of my followers. And I know that's really easy to read about 2,000 years ago, and it's really hard to like transfer that into our lives. And I think one reason it is hard, I think one reason we have a hard time, it's like slowing down and quieting ourselves, is I think a lot of us feel like if we slow down, if we stop moving, you know, for 1 second, then things will get out of control, right? And then the whole world is going to crash down in that 30 minutes that I spend with God. Ironically, we don't feel about the same way about the 30 minutes that we spend hitting golf balls or playing video games or checking our news feed or scrolling through Instagram. But we feel this thing that, like, if I am not going, if I'm not performing, if I am not doing, then the whole world is going to come crashing to a halt or something. And I think slowing down starts with trusting that God's really in control. And if God's really in control, then maybe I don't have to be. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. And I think for a lot of us, that almost needs to be like flipped. Like first, we need to know that he is God. And we need to see that he is all-knowing and all-powerful, that he knows what's best for us, that he wants what's best for us, that he's able to bring about what's best for us. We need to know that he is God. He is everything. He knows everything. He is love. Then when we see who he is, when we know who God is, then we can be still. And then we can trust him. So you tell me, is slowing down countercultural? Yes or no? Yes. Does it feel weird? Yes. Yes. Is it the life that Jesus taught and modeled for his followers? Yes. And we talk all the time about following. We're apprentices of Jesus, right? So he's the leader. We're the followers. That means he does stuff. We do the same stuff. Where he goes, we go. What he does, we do. How he loves, we love. How he lives, we live, right? That's what it means to follow Jesus. And Jesus obviously slowed down. In a crazy, topsy-turvy, busy, busy world, Jesus modeled this life. Think of these practices we always talk about. Sabbath, prayer, scripture, community, solitude, serving, mission. We talk about these all the time. These are the practices of Jesus. These are things that we want to do, but we're not doing those things to impress God. Right? We're not doing those things so that God will love you more. A huge part of these practices, think about Sabbath, think about prayer, solitude, fasting, scripture. The reason we do those things is to slow down. It is to create space for us to just be with God and just listen to him and just like enjoy him. And that sounds almost, it's sad that we say, it sounds weird to say, I'm going to enjoy God. But that's what he wants. When he's in a relationship, he wants to enjoy this relationship with us. Look what Jesus says. This is Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, look, I stand at the door and I knock. Here's a big word, if. I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. Doesn't that sound amazing? Don't you want that? I mean, don't you want to be with Jesus, have a meal with Jesus and just talk like you would with a friend? That's what we thirst for, right? That's that thing that we're yearning for, is to be just with him. But for me, and I don't know, maybe for you too, sometimes I think that if comes into play. Because I think sometimes we don't hear his voice and we don't hear him knocking because our minds and our lives are just too busy and just too loud, and we just need to quiet down and we need to slow down and we need to listen. There was a really famous interview years ago with Mother Teresa, and the reporter is asking about prayer. Like, what is that? You know, what is prayer all about? And Mother Teresa says something about prayer, and the reporter says, so let me get this straight. You talk to God. And she said, well, mostly I listen. And then the reporter said, even weirder, so God talks to you. And she said, mostly he listens. Beautiful, huh? I mean, don't you want that kind of relationship with God? But listening takes time. We have to slow down and create space in our daily lives to drink in Jesus. Think of this. If you're trying to drink in more water and you're carrying around that jug all day and yet your gut is constantly full of Dr. Pepper. I mean, carry all the jugs, whatever, you put whatever flavoring you want, drink a straw, it doesn't really matter. If you're completely full of something else, there's just not room left for water. And if your to-do list, if your calendar, if your life is overly full of anything, good stuff even, if it's full of everything, if it's full of busyness, there's just not much room left for drinking in Jesus. So I think the first trick, the first habit, the first step for drinking more Jesus in through prayer is just slow down. And then just pray. Just pray. I mean, a lot of people say, like, I don't really know how to pray. So I just kind of don't pray. And I'm going to say that for 95% of us, wrong praying is a lot less of a problem than not praying. God loves you. I mean, He wants to hear from you. So don't wait till you know how to do it better. Don't wait until you can say it exactly right. If you've ever been around, a parent, like a dad's are the worst. So maybe it's at work, and this dad has a baby at his house, and the baby just said the first words, "Dada," right? And so now here the guy comes to work, and he's showing everybody the stupid video of his kids, right? Well, my gosh, it's the 12th time I've seen it. Look, what's this? Dada. Well, I'll rewind it one more time real quick. And he's like, over and over. And you're just like, yeah, your kid's brilliant. I can see it right now. He's going to be a scientist or something, right? Dads react differently to that different ways. Some dance, some sing, some bore us with videos, right? But you want to tell you what never happens? What never happens is the kid says, Dada. And the dad says, actually, I prefer to be called father. So clean up the grammar. You know, and when you can speak in complete sentences, until then, just don't talk to me. Has that ever happened in history? I mean, this is why God gives the example. This is why he gives us the metaphor of him as our father. Don't wait till you know more about praying. Don't wait till you get better at it to do it. Just pray. Just talk to God. It doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be like worded in a certain way or something like that. In fact, in Luke 18, Jesus said not to pray like the Pharisees. Because what they had these beautiful, eloquent prayers that lasted forever, and they just said every word perfectly. They were quoting scripture, and their prayers were so beautiful. And Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. In fact, verse 13, he talks about a lowly tax collector. This is the scum of the earth to them, right? And this is his prayer. And Jesus says his prayer is so much better. And what was his prayer? He prayed, God, be merciful to me, because I'm a sinner. I mean, that's a good prayer right there. God, I see who you are. I see who I am. Help me. That's a good prayer, man. And that's from a tax collector. That's from somebody that's not skilled, right? That's somebody that's not an eloquent orator that's going to say every word exactly right. You don't have to be good. It's not a thing. People love to say this like, well, I'm not a good prayer, right? If you've ever heard Ramiro pray, oh, he's a good prayer. I could never be a good prayer. Like, can I say something? Like, that's stupid. That is stupid. I'm a good prayer. It's not a thing. It's not a thing. Don't say that, okay? Okay? Don't say that. Don't say I'm not a good prayer. Let's get that out of our vocabulary, that I'm not a good prayer. In fact, we're going to institute something starting right now, man. This is a new policy for our church. If somebody around you says, I'm not a good prayer, punch them in the neck. Because we gotta get this out. We gotta get rid of this. You try it today. Like when you go to lunch today, whoever you're with, just like take turns. One of you say, I'm not a good prayer. Other one, bam, right in the neck. That's it. We gotta get this out of our vernacular, we gotta get out of our thought process that these eloquent, like pretty prayers that impress people somehow also impress God. And here's the problem with that idea. It also implies that less eloquent prayers move God less. That's just not true. Prayer is just talking to the one that desperately wants to hear from you. Prayer is just listening to the one that desperately wants to speak to you. the one that thirsts for you. So just pray. Philippians 4:6 says, pray about everything. Right? Tell him how you feel. Tell him what you're scared of. Tell him you love him. It says, tell God what you need. It's okay to ask him for a healing, or ask him for a raise, or ask him for a friend, or ask him for a great parking spot, right? It says, thank him for what he's done. Thank him for your family, or your food, or your heartbeat, or your amazing pastor, right? If you're thankful, just tell him. If you're scared, just tell him. If you're mad at him, just tell him. I've had this weird thing in my life where it's like, well, I don't want to say that to God. He'll know I've been thinking that. You see how stupid that is? Right? He knows already, right? He knows. Just pray. Just pray. I literally dare you to do it wrong. And some people I know are already saying, okay, I'm going to do it. But I don't know, like, I need prompts, you know, I need help, like, getting started. And I want to concede that it's kind of weird talking to somebody that you're not used to talking to. And it's kind of weird talking to somebody that you're a little intimidated by. And it's kind of weird talking to somebody that you can't see. And I give you that. It is a little weird, and maybe we do need a little, like, help, little prompts or something. So in our staff meeting the other day, you guys ever wonder what we talk about in a church staff meeting? So the other day we were talking about when I was in high school and I first started wanting to call girls, right? And so, like, I would want to call, and I want to make a good impression, and I'm, like, really nervous, you know, and the phone is the worst, and I can't see the look on her face, and I just was super, like, uncomfortable and all sweaty and, you know, teenager stuff, right? And I'm just working up my nerve to call girls. And so what I would do is I would make myself a little cheat sheet, right? I would just get a piece of paper, and I would just, like, little bullet points. Right, not write out everything I'm going to say, something like, but like I would just have like a little bullets. I like what you wore to school today, right? Did you read that chapter in history? Isn't Miss Bouton the worst teacher ever? Right? Are you like, how lame was that assembly today? Right? What's your dog's name? Are you going to go to the game Friday? And then each one of those just like a little prompt, you know, and then I could, you know, kind of riff. You know, then I could kind of engage her with my charming personality or whatever. I wasn't completely inept, right? I could talk. I just needed, like, topical conversation starters, you know, to just kind of, like a template, just kind of get me off ground zero, you know, just get me moving. And Jesus gave us a great prayer template in Matthew 6. Some of us call it the Lord's Prayer, or maybe you grew up calling it Our Father. And I'm going to tell you something. It's okay just to repeat that prayer. Just verbatim. It's okay. Just at least that opens up some line of communication with God, even if it's just memorized. But I think maybe more ideally, this is supposed to be like a template, like an outline, right? Like little bullet points, little conversation starters for us. So you might... You know, it's Matthew 6:9, and Jesus said, pray like this. He didn't say pray this. He said pray like this. But he says, Our Father in heaven. And as you say those words, that might prompt you to say, wow, Our Father. God, thank you. Because I know how I feel about my kids. I know how I feel about my grandkids. And it's awesome for me to think that you feel that way about me. Our Father, what a thing, right? But you're our Father in heaven. So you're not like a regular dad. You're all powerful and all knowing. Man, God, I see you. You are our Father in heaven. Next point, hallowed be your name. It just means like holy, right? Or separate or unique. God, I see who you're so much bigger and so much more powerful and so much more amazing than anyone or anything else in the universe. I see you. Help me see you more because I want you to be separated out. I want you to be seen as unique. I want to see you that way. Help me help the world see you that way. Next bullet, may your kingdom come. I mean, we talk about this every week, right? And his kingdom is full of healing and peace and joy and unity and his presence. And so we're just saying, God, I'm ready. Humanity had a run, right? I'm ready for your version of what this world should. I am ready for your kingdom to come. So may your will be done on earth like it is in heaven. I trust you, your will. I trust your way. I trust your idea of what's right. So I'm not trying to get you on my page. I'm trying to get on yours. I want what you want for me and for my marriage and for my kids and for my family and for my church. God, give us this day our daily bread. You know what we need. The Bible tells us that every good thing is a gift from you, and I see that. I recognize that everything good in my life comes from you. So please, today, will you provide for me water and food and air and love and purpose and passion and friendships and relationships? Will you fill me with your presence? That's what I need the most, the daily bread of your presence. And forgive us of our debts. This is just to say, God, I see the sin in my life, and I hate the sin in my life, and it's ruining my life, and I can't do anything with it, so I just want to give it to you. And just ask for your forgiveness so that I can just be done with it, and help me forgive our debtors. Like, help me forgive other people the way you forgive me. Help me see other people the way you see me, and lead us not into temptation. This is just saying, God, help me develop and keep like barriers in my life, right? To keep space and guardrails between me and my temptation. And rescue me, rescue all of us from the evil one. Protect us, empower us to stand up to him like Jesus did, not like Adam. You see that? It's just each bullet is a little topical conversation starter. But really, even if it's just at first, especially if it's just repeating the prayer, if you're just not used to praying, then just repeat the prayer. You can't do it wrong. If it slows you down, if it connects you to God, just do it. Just pray. Any way you pray right now is a good prayer. And it doesn't have to be perfect words, and it doesn't have to be a perfect time, and it doesn't have to be a perfect place. In fact, ultimately, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, never stop praying. Some of us raised on the King James says, pray without ceasing, right? So ideally, we live in a constant state of prayer. That's a weird concept, right? I'm trying to think how to even illustrate that. Do you guys ever see that show, The Office? I've never seen it because I'm too holy, but I understand that in one of the episodes, this married couple, Jim and Pam, have these tiny little Bluetooth speakers from their phones in their ears. Do you sinners remember that one? Yeah. And so they're married and they're in different towns. And so they've got a little tiny Bluetooth in their ear. And so in the morning, one calls the other, and then all day, they just let it run. All day. And that person in their ear is hearing every conversation and everything they're doing. They're part of everything that's going on in their life. And they'll even say, oh, say this, right? Oh, do that, right? And so this person is completely interacting with this person all the time. And it's weird to think about always being in communication with God, but isn't that a cool thought? Every minute, just reminding yourself, recognizing that Jesus is right there with you. God, help me in this next meeting. God, what do you want me to say right now? God, what are you saying to me right now? God, I see your beauty and creation in this sky tonight. God, will you help me love this person that I'm with? God, I'm tired. Will you give me a spark? God, thank you for my family or for my church or for my salvation. It's just being in this constant state of prayer. That's the ultimate thing that we're after. Years ago, I played golf with a guy. I never met him before this. And he was having a horrible round. If you're a golfer, you understand, it's just not there, it's just one of those. And he was so frustrated. And so he's walking along, and I'm walking along, and I was kind of behind him. I never met him before. And I wrote down, here's what he said. God, I know you're teaching me humility, and I want to learn it, but this is more than I can bear. He said, I'm on the brink of despair. Help me, Jesus. Right? And I was just waiting for him to start sweating the blood drops like Jesus in Gethsemane, And he was just joking, but then I thought, wow, that's a constant state of prayer. Even on a golf course. And the funny thing is, he started playing better after that. So I started praying like that on the golf course too. He wasn't a very good player, but he was a good prayer. So I would never say that because I don't want to get punched in the neck. So never stop praying. Prayer without ceasing. What this means is this constant communication with the Father. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not there. And you're probably not going to get there until Jesus comes back. But I think it at least starts with making some kind of commitment, you know, just saying yes to prayer. As God empowers me, I'm going to be faithful to pray. And not only whether I have time or not, but also whether I feel it or not. Because some people will say, well, if I don't feel it, you know, if it just feels wooden, you know, if it just feels forced, or if it feels fake, why do it? You know, if it's not making me feel closer to Jesus, what's the point? If I don't feel it, should I even pray? And I just want to say this to you. You should absolutely pray when you don't feel like it. Maybe you should absolutely pray, especially when you don't feel like it. Think about water, right? I know water is what I need. I don't always feel like drinking it. That's why I need that jug, right? I can't just drink it when I feel like it. I need to drink it when I don't feel like it. I need to drink it when I feel like drinking something else, because water is life. And spiritually, Jesus is life. And prayer is one of the best ways we can connect to him. And if we feel disconnected from him, the last thing we want to do is stop praying and lose the connection that we do have. So whether you know what to say or not, whether you feel like it or not, if you thirst, slow down. Slow down and make room for what's really important and just pray. In the next couple of weeks, we'll have more tips and tricks and ways to drink in more Jesus. Spoiler alert, one tip next week is called praying naked. So you're not going to want to miss that one. I will be doing the entire message completely in English. So you're going to want to invite your friends to that one. Okay, let's pray. Father, man, it's like a revelation to a lot of us to think about this amazing thing that you thirst after us. But you don't need us for anything. You created us because you want us. You want this interaction with us. You want to be with us. You want to speak to us. You want to hear from us. And so, God, open our eyes to this truth. You thirst for us. And all of us feel this thirst. All of us feel this craving. This something's missing. I want more. What is it? God, when that thirst comes, remind us this isn't a mistake. It's not a bad thing that we thirst. It's a good thing, because this is an invitation to drink. It's an invitation for what our soul really needs, which is Jesus. So God, I just pray. Some of us, this is a new thing to even try to pray. Some of us want to pray or try to pray and we struggle with it. So God, just remind us this week that we need to open up space. We need to create room and time to talk to you and listen to you and hear from you. And so help us to slow down. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment about what's on our calendar that maybe doesn't have to be on our calendar. Help us maybe even get rid of some things that are good to make room for what's great. God, just give us the courage. And maybe it feels awkward or weird to us because we haven't done it. But just remind us, just pray. Remind us to just talk to you and just talk to you about everything and tell you what we need and thank you for what you've done and just see you and spend time with you and hear from you as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.